Okay, is everybody ready for a classic sound? Hunter, you ready to hear this in your editing? Ready? Are you ready for this sound? Welcome to episode 109. That's 109 for you non-math people out there, of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I know my way around a thick green pipe. And I am the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I will be talking nothing about the PlayStation 1 tonight.
Oh.
Today is opposite day. My name is Alex Weiss, and I do various things on the site. I make a little show called Deported, and I work with Valerie Minnick on Retro Power, and that counts as work for me today, technically, shouting that out.
Ooh. Nice.
Welcome, Alex.
Yeah.
We are honored to have you here.
Alex, I couldn't help but notice that you are not Jason. Do you care to explain this to the people who are used to having Jason in this space?
Well, this morning I woke up and my first thought was, I'm not Jason, so I think I'm going to be on the podcast tonight.
Perfect.
What do you know? It just happened.
So, Hunter, did you hear, is Jason sick, or like, what's the deal? Is he overthrowing some democracy somewhere? No.
So, according to his very discreet and secretive dark net messages that he sent to me earlier today, he has the sniffles.
Oh.
So, okay. He will be absent from tonight's show and this week's episode and maple syrup.
Cool. And my apologies to the live stream viewers tonight. I'm not sure why or how, but it is my fault that we got started late, and I'm not happy about it.
Hey, Bailey, I have a housekeeping question.
Go for it, my man.
How many sick days do we get?
You get, apparently, 2 or 3 per year. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get it reduced down to 1.
No. Okay.
But and you get Jason's used like 1 paid vacation.
Okay. And what? Why hasn't Jason been fired yet?
That's a really good. Hunter, do you care to comment? Because I don't know why.
Well, I'm not technically on the payroll. I just do this as a volunteer work due to a court mandated order. So I don't know.
I think we keep Jason around because...
Diversity? Well, diversity.
I mean, he is another four-eyed white guy. It's not like...
Canadian.
With a beard.
Yeah, he's international. Yeah. Perhaps this is our first beginning tiptoe into diversity. We'll work on that. We are working on that. We have worked on that. We'll do better. Yeah.
This is the part where Bailey just mumbles to himself. Nobody knows what's going on.
In reality, that's half the show. I just mumble to myself. Hunter just does a really good job of editing to make it sound like a real podcast.
I listen to all of it, just so you know.
Yeah.
I always listen to it.
So it's just, like, just Jason and Hunter and Bailey off by himself talking about whatever.
Right.
Okay.
That's usually how that works. It begins.
What are we going to talk about then, Hunter?
Normally...
Right.
Now, again, with Jason not being here, this is a very abnormal
situation. Okay, wait. I know I'm just the first-time guest, but we don't need to mention...
Oh, wow, this is your first time.
I know, right?
We don't need to mention Jason anymore, okay?
Okay.
We can just pretend like he doesn't exist.
Done.
Video games.
This is a podcast about old video games. Have you guys played any old video games lately, or what?
Well, since the last time I was not on the podcast, I've been playing Wario Land 3 for the Game Boy Color.
That is definitely not ever played.
Yeah, ditto. Tell us about it.
Is this before or after the farting and motorcycle?
This was before the fart conversion.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'm interested.
Yeah, I actually thought of you, Hunter. I thought you might like it. Because it's a platformer, but it's a different type of platformer. You don't just get to the end of the goal or the end of the level. You have to figure out how to find the treasures and get, I don't know. I'm not good at explaining things, but it's not.
What is it? Is it a collectathon?
No. Well,
Damn it.
You get treasures, and you have to figure out how to get the treasures through puzzle solving.
So yes, it is.
It's not Banjo-Kazooie, if that's what you're asking. It's not quite.
Nothing will ever be Banjo-Kazooie.
There's four things per level. It's minimal.
So let me ask you this, minimal then, collecting. Because the only Wario game I've ever played was Super Mario Land 3.
Right.
And I was really intrigued by, like, the different hats that you could wear, you know, like the dragon hat spits out fire, and you got the little demolition hat, and you can slam into things and break it. But it still felt like a Mario game. So does this one have, like, anything that, like, is kind of unique to itself that separates itself from Mario, or is it still a Mario Brothers game?
I would say it's distinct enough from Mario Brothers game. There are no deaths, for one.
Like, whoa, what?
You cannot die. And
is it?
Yeah. And the enemies don't kill you. So if you run into a zombie, you turn into a zombie. If you get stung by a mosquito, you get swell up like a balloon and fly up in the air. And you kind of have to use those strategically to solve the levels.
Huh.
Or avoid the zombie in that case, because you fall through the floor.
Wow, that sounds really cool.
Yeah. I'd recommend it if you like platformers.
I do. Huh. I dabble in platformers. Plabble. So it's like, let's just start over. What's the game called? Let me make a note.
Wario Land 3.
What is that for? Like, not to sound completely ignorant, but is it a portable, a console game? Is it for the PS1?
I already said it's for Game Boy Color.
You but did? Okay. It's also... I guess I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm just giving you a hard time. It's on the eShop, the 3DS eShop as well.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh. I'm just going to do that. Then. Who needs physical media? I do. I need physical
media. Oh, you guys should know I bought Super Metroid and played Super Metroid for the second time.
Nice. Nice.
2 days ago.
Good job.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Also, not on physical media.
No.
Okay, fine. Hunter, did you play anything?
Did you? No.
Oh, okay.
No, I have.
Oh, okay.
Well, I played a bunch of games, and I can't. Have I talked about Wild 9?
No. You have not?
Okay. Let's talk about Wild 9. So, Wild 9 is a PlayStation 1 title. Can't remember who made it. It's kind of like a 2.5D action platformer game.
I love 2.5D.
Good. Then you would probably enjoy this game.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was one of those games that I picked up just because the box art looked really cool. And the title, Wild 9, like the number 9, it's not like spelt out, it's the actual numeral. Which I thought was kind of interesting. So, like, maybe there was 8 other ones that I missed, and this just happened to be the 9th in the series.
That's kind of
neat. It's not true. This is the, from my understanding, it's the one and only game in the series. But you play in, like, this post-apocalyptic world. There's robots everywhere trying to attack you. You're escaping from something or some place, some noun. I just sped through the story.
You're escaping?
But you have, like, this...
Wait, you're escaping from a noun?
Yeah,
you're,
so
you're
it's
verbing.
A personal place or thing. I'm not.
I got
exact,
it. I got
sure.
you. That's
okay.
I just want to make sure I got that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you're running along left or right, and you've got this weird arm extender thing.
I do have a weird arm. You're right. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. I'll grow out of it eventually. But yeah. This one, it has like this weird electricity energy that kind of only can be described as the fight scene between Dumbledore and Voldemort and Harry Potter, where it's kind of like liquid, like the energy was like liquid. Does that make any sense? Am I just you guys even know what Harry Potter
like
is?
Okay, like the plasma stream from a Ghostbusters gun.
Yay.
Yeah,
that'll work.
All right.
That's, yeah,
fits cool. With the
I know what Harry team. Potter is.
I don't know what that is.
Wait,
what are you holding?
Alex,
it's a book.
Book.
What's a book? Yeah. Anyway, so you can pick things up. You can pick enemies up. You can, like, slam them back and forth. That's your main attack, is grabbing them with this, like, pulse arm. thing and then like slamming them back and forth like between you.
That sounds like a lot
until
of fun.
They die, like six or seven times. You have to like slam these guys like a rag doll into the ground until nice. They die. And you grab like blocks and you can move them, you know, the typical platforming aspects. The game's really weird.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
But yet intriguing just because of that one mechanic. It, like, I feel like it's a Bionic Commando.
Ooh.
3000.
Nice.
Like, if Bionic Commando was like, we're going to make this guy and he's going to have this really cool arm. No, we're not going to do the like the actual extendable arm. We're just going to give him pure energy and just, you know, burn people's hearts out with it. Which I believe that's what he's doing.
It's fantastic.
It's probably not true. So
cool.
Yeah, it's neat. Like, it's one of those games that I can't really find out why I like playing it, but I can't stop because it intrigues me.
It's because of that Ghostbuster beam. That's why.
Yeah, it's alluring.
That's all I can think about. That's the only visual I can imagine from whatever you just described.
Yeah, it's weird. It's an interesting game. And there are not eight other ones before that. I think I said that already. I just want to make sure everybody knows.
You said you might think there are.
Wild
9.
I didn't play anything nearly as good or interesting as you guys. Played a little...
Let's take a break.
I'll That's just quickly mention, just for the sake of adding tallies to my desperately needed pool of episodes in which I actually played a game, Dragon Warrior 3 on the NES. I just loaded it up and killed Metal Slimes for a couple hours to get a few level ups.
Cool.
And by killed Metal Slimes, I mean went up and down that part a little bit away from the shoreline in the northeast of the continent, hoping to get Metal Slimes. I killed maybe a half dozen of them. So, you know, yeah, that's about it.
Grinding.
It's like my favorite part. Like, there should just be a game where you do nothing but grind, you know? There shouldn't be, like, bosses or towns
story.
Or a story. No, just let me grind. Like, let me just endlessly kill enemy after enemy just to inflate my stats incrementally. That'd be wonderful.
To what end, though?
Hunter.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story.
Okay.
I
like stories.
I started playing Pokemon X this summer, and I didn't get very far. I put about two hours in it. And an hour of that was just looking for a Pikachu in the woods. Just looking.
Why?
Why?
Pikachu's a pretty good Pokemon. It's worth having, worth getting.
Yeah, but aren't there like 8,000 Pokemon now? Like, do you really?
Yeah, that's no, why because you're really you spend that, big of a that deal much anymore? Time to find the special.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta find him. Because, like, he's the most powerful one in the beginning of X, I think, in my opinion. I don't know.
By some measures. And Hunter, you asked to what end would my theoretical grinding game be? If you don't put a cap on the experience, like if you just let it be lidless and limitless, let the players define the end. Like, imagine releasing a grind game where there is no upper limit on the level-ups. What would people do? How would they play? Let the pool of players... I've used that word pool several times now. Let the group of players experiencing the game, let them define the experience and the goal and the finish
Bailey.
And the creative products that result from it. What, Weiss, what?
Are you going in the philosophical realms that you don't actually believe in?
I believe in video games that don't necessarily have an ending. That's fine.
Oh, it just sounds like you're going into relativity. That's all.
They make those games already, and they're called Cookie Clicker.
I have bigger problems with postmodernism than I do relativity. So
the cat just walked in my
office and meowed and then left, so I don't know if the cat's trying to tell me something, but I'm going to close the door.
Just letting you know that there's somebody... Well, dinner's ready.
Oh, okay, cool. Hunter, were you asking Alex a question about Super Metroid before I interrupted you both?
Probably.
Okay.
Whoa, this is like topics on topics on topics.
So,
okay, what about Super Metroid?
Very topical.
We're going to back away from the meta train, actually, and go to our listener email discussion question. If anyone in the audience would like their question to be featured, shoot us an email to podcast@onemorecastle.com. So let's see how it goes. this week. Hello, gentlemen. Longtime listener, second time emailer. What got you into the NES? I'm a little older than you three. I remember when the NES launched. A big part of my attachment to it is because it was the system that came out when I was 10. But by the time you whippersnappers could pick up a controller, the Genesis was available and the SNES was on the horizon. The NES was old news. So you guys went a little backwards in time, which is great, but why not to the 2600 or the Intellivision or the C64? Are those games just not your style? Or are they too annoying to play in emulation? Just not a fan of the joystick? Basically, what got you into the NES and not something newer or something older? Tim Showalter, who I find interesting because I think I'm the only one who really specializes in the NES, right? I mean, Jason's a PC gamer, Hunter's a Sega guy.
And I'm the wild card.
Well, wild card, tell us what piqued your interest in Nintendo's 8-bit console.
First of all, what's his name? Schoffenhoffner?
Schoffenhoffner. I think it's close.
Yeah.
You're really close.
I don't know who you are, but the NES was my first system.
I don't know who you are.
The NES was my first system. It wasn't my first gaming experience, but it was my very first console. I got it when I was 4 or 5. I don't know. Yeah. So I just wanted to say that. Get that out of the way. It was my first console.
Well, that makes it easy. Okay, cool.
I mean, I've got more to the answer, but I just needed to get that off my chest.
You have 30 seconds to add to your answer if you'd like.
I was sick with the chicken pox when I was 7, and I borrowed a butt ton of games and enjoyed every one of them, and that got me into the NES. What got me back into the NES was illegally downloaded ROMs for my Dreamcast.
Nice.
Yes.
Because I don't own it. I don't own an NES anymore. So
wow, that's upsetting.
Dang. Why not?
Honestly, I sold it to get a Wii. I thought, yeah, you can download games, but you can't download all the games.
Wow. No.
And you never will be able to.
So you guys like my Jason impression? Yeah, that was definitely a good Nintendo burn there. Because Nintendo, you just ruined Alex's gaming experience. Way to go.
A little bit.
I do have like 5 or 6 NES games that I cannot, like physical games I can't play. Because no NES. But anyways, that's my answer. Tim,
cool.
Tom. Tim.
John. Joe.
Jeff.
Gene.
Bill.
Actually, my first console was a Commodore 64.
Ooh.
Because my mom fell for the whole shtick of, it's not a gaming console. You can do spreadsheets and Word documents. Yeah. So little old me with joystick in hand playing some Q-Bert! That was the game that I always enjoyed because I thought just the graphics were so interesting. With all the different colors and stuff, and then just the funny symbols that would appear above his head after you get hit. Like, I never understood it, obviously, but I was just like, look at all the squiggles.
Exactly.
There's so many squiggles.
Q-Bert's fun. Q-Bert's a classic.
Look out for something Q-Bert related, not this month, but maybe next month.
Just saying. See what happens when we put him on the podcast. He starts letting secrets loose.
He's pimping out the castle pretty good, in my opinion.
I mean, as a kid, especially for our generation, like the three of us total, how could you not own an Nintendo?
Yeah, it was just the most popular thing, honestly.
Everywhere.
It was right?
It was our Saturday morning cartoons. It was on our T-shirts. Yeah. It was on our cereal. They made cereal.
Your grandmother knew what a Nintendo was.
And I think Mr. Scholwolf and Mr. S that kind of downplayed the fact that it was still pretty popular even after the Super Nintendo came out. You know?
Right. I mean, Nintendo officially stopped supporting the NES. Was it like 2001?
Something like that.
Like they were still doing hardware fixes and
replacement
parts.
Huh. Yeah, and making like AV cables and
absolutely.
So,
and the thing is, like, I guess this is kind of retro gamer esque, like unique to our particular hobby. But I just never understood why you would move completely on from one system. Like, as a person, like I just naturally just kept every old system I had. I had the NES, I got the Super Nintendo, I had both. I would play both, you know.
Never
I got the
Nintendo
64, and I just kept what I had. Like I never understood. And for me, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've told the story before, but for me, yeah, it's true. The NES holds special importance to me because it's one of my earliest and most vivid memories was getting the NES console for my 4th birthday. And Duck Hunt being the first game I played right there. And Super Mario Brothers after. And apparently it changed my life. So, yeah, I mean, it's because it's what I had. It's what was popular at the time. I mean, what got me into it, I guess, was just I was a kid and it was the system I had. So I played it and liked it and kept playing it.
I will say this, though.
I don't have a more profound
answer. Especially for some of the older, like, 8-bit, like Atari 2600 and Commodore 64 and the ZX Spectrum, like, I'm glad that I didn't get to play those consoles as a kid and I got to experience them now, because I never would have appreciated what the developers were able to do with such limited hardware and graphical capability and even sound. Like, I can still go back and play some, like, Zed Specky games and just be like, this just sounds amazing, knowing that there was only 3 channels to play with, you know, like being able to explore that space. I can appreciate it more now as an adult than I ever would have as a child. Whereas, and with the NES, like yes, I appreciate it more now than I did back then, but it was so flashy, you know, like the console and the games were created to appeal to kids, where I think like the 2600 and Commodore 64 were probably more towards adults.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, I like that.
Teenagers.
I like that you mentioned that, because my first memory of an Atari 2600 was watching my mom play one. So I had pretty early access to it, but it didn't quite capture my imagination the way the NES did. It's a really good point.
Do you think it was the graphics with the NES? Like, what was different about the NES that made it appeal to kids?
I think for me, it was because the Atari 2600 tried to be this is really broad strokes, not really fair, but it seemed like, through my perception, a lot of the games were either like a basic puzzle format, like you had your Breakout, you had your, you know, your shapes interacting with each other games, or it was something like football, like there's 3 different kinds of Atari football to play. And like, there was stuff I liked, there's Keystone Capers and other things, but like when you fired up the NES and played Super Mario Brothers, there's a whole different mythos, like this whole separate fictional world. Like it seemed to already be a canon built in.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the controller was big for me too.
Okay, yeah, that's a good
Because it was so foreign from anything I've ever seen before. And I mean, granted, a joystick.
Did they have the the regular type of controllers for PC back in the 80s? Like the Super Nintendo or with the D-pad and whatnot?
No, Nintendo was the first. So probably wasn't the first, but it was the most popular directional pad analog.
So the controller. PC imitated them after that? You know the type of controllers I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. You're talking about like the
that looked like a Super Nintendo controller that you plug into your computer. Yeah,
and it was actually through like a gaming port that they don't even make anymore. So everything went
through the joystick plug.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know, like a joystick, it was like, oh, I get this. I know what this is.
You know,
up is up, down is down. But when I saw that controller and I put it in my hand, I was like, I can master this. Like I can really sit down and figure out how this controller works. You know, because again, like it seems so foreign to me. And I think a lot of that kind of what hooked me the most was like, I don't know, like it was just so weird that it kind of kept me going.
Well, I think Nintendo obviously knew what they were doing, because I just realized that their decision to make so many different bundles and like to pack the gun with the console in the set that I got, that was genius, because the gun is what got me. I was like, cool, I can hold a gun and shoot things on the screen. That's great. Blowing ducks away. I'm 4 years old.
I don't know why it's orange, but yeah.
It's bright orange.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever have the gray one?
My friend across the street did.
Yeah. I'm still looking to get a gray one just so I could have it as a collector, but I'm not dropping $15 on a piece of plastic I will never use. Yeah,
especially they're so big. Like, I think I have one of each. Yeah. I think I have one in this box, in fact.
What like, the... I can honestly say that the only reason I bought Lethal Enforcers on the Super NES was for the blue and pink Enforcer gun.
Lethal Enforcers.
Because that looked like an actual giant clown-sized revolver. Which I was all about.
Man, light gun games, they hold a special part in gaming history. That's all I'm going to say there.
Yeah, just remember that.
Yeah, we'll just remember that, Bailey.
We'll just remember that.
So yeah, interesting question, Tim, like to address the NES so specifically, because I'm not sure how our ages tie into it, but clearly it was quite a big deal, that little system. And now, while I open the bubble wrap on this zapper here, let's take a music break. We're back! That was Choose Your Character by Fatnik. This one's a little different. It's just a 16-bit Sega-sounding loop of a character selection screen, a theoretical, fictional one. And it's a track off the Attack of the Terrible Lizard Kitty album. We have a link to it on our episode page. It's a choose-your-own-price kind of thing. Honestly, I like Fatnik. It's worth supporting him. Give him a couple bucks. Strangely, though, just noticed earlier tonight that this particular track is not on there, not on the album list of the 14 tracks. So it's like our own exclusive Omar Castle secret track or something. I don't know, but it's pretty cool.
You got to play the record backwards.
Something different tonight, just so we know. Speaking of doing something different with each other tonight, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, this is the part of our show where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce it. Then we're just going to spend the rest of the show arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite of the three on a poll on the podcast episode page. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you to vote for us, or at the very least will entertain you by insulting each other viciously, I'm sure. 2 episodes ago, the theme for our choices was Star Wars, near and dear to my heart. And the winner of that particular showdown was Jason.
Who's oh, come on.
Not even here tonight, which that's bullcrap.
My interactive movie game show.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't have. I'm glad I didn't it. So Jason won that's with right. Rogue Squadron 3 Rebel Strike for the PC. And under my notes here, I put Andrew thinks Rogue Squadron 3 Rebel Strike was for the PC. So it's kind of funny. Was it? That was my PC, was it? Like, he's crazy, right?
What was for PC? Or wasn't for PC?
Rebel Strike. There's no way that was on PC.
I'm pretty sure the only first one was for PC.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the third one is GameCube exclusive.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, just to part the curtain a little bit, we have different people who post different portions of the podcast in different places, and one of them isn't as much of a retro gamer as some of us would have.
That would have been me.
So we're moving on, and tonight's theme is themeless. It's a special edition themeless showdown. It's a free-for-all because we have a special guest, Alex Weiss. It's his first time on the show. Longtime One More Castle contributor. We like him. He's a friend. He's one of the few internet people I've met face to face, which was a privilege. And in
very
honor
face to face.
Intimately.
I didn't know that Alex was an internet person. Just thought he was just a person.
I'm not going to spend 30 seconds extrapolating the explanation required for everyone to understand
Eric,
perfectly.
He means one of the people he's met on the internet
before in real life. So the point is, our tradition is when we have a special guest, we throw the theme out the window. Tonight's no exception. Special guest free for all. And Jason is not here, so who wants to keep time?
I got it.
Nutter's got it.
I don't.
I got it.
Alex, I'm going to ask you, do you want to go first tonight? Because I always go first, but I'm willing to let you go first if you want to go first.
Sure.
Alex, this is never going to happen again.
You should
take it.
Hey.
No, I mean Bailey not going first. This will never happen again.
Like, I was about to say, I mean, if...
In 2 years of doing this podcast, we've never had someone other than me go first.
Okay, I'll go first. I'll go first. I'll go first.
Okay, I jump at the chance, man.
Wait, I think Alex is going to go first.
Make some history.
Are you going to go first?
Wait, I'm Alex? Okay, got it.
You ready?
Yeah.
You may begin.
having an hour's worth of research, I hit up Wikipedia about 7:30 this evening to look up one of my favorite NES Zapper games, To the Earth. In To the Earth, you blast your way through the alien horde through the solar system from the outermost part of the solar system to the Earth.
To the Earth.
It's what Wikipedia describes as a shoot-em-up, but not what I would describe as a shoot-em-up, because there's just enemies flying on screen towards you. You'd have to shoot them up and get to the Earth.
You got 5 seconds.
Oh, he fits right in.
To the Earth.
Yeah, that's time. What is this?
It's a classic.
Never even heard of it.
It's not very good, Hunter. Just go with the crappy.
Probably because it's hot garbage. All right, Bailey, are you ready?
You know what? Yeah.
Then you may begin.
I picked bowling for the Intellivision, the 1979 game Bowling. It's a simulation of the real life sport bowling. You can adjust the slickness and ball weight. That's right. You can choose how much your balls weigh.
Wow.
It is a multiplayer game if multiple persons would like to play. It has a side view, which might be unique to bowling games. If you don't believe me, you can look it up on YouTube. Like, it's a left, you don't look down the lane like most bowling lanes. Like, you line up to the side, and then it switches to that view. Like, so I guess it does have the down the lane view. I'm holding a physical copy of it for anyone audio-only listeners. Yeah, I have it. I own it. It's Bowling for Intellivision.
Time.
What was the name of that game?
Bowling.
Yeah.
For the Intellivision.
Oh my God. Well, this is going to be easy. Well, I say that knowing full well that within 2 weeks I will have lost by 15 votes.
To the Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is a game, actually, I've been dying to bring for a long, long time, so I'm really happy.
So was mine.
I think we're in for a slaughter if I know what Hunter's bringing.
I waited for 108 episodes.
So you've been thinking about this game
actually,
for a long
time. It's actually episode 109. Hunter just typed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I haven't waited through this one yet. I had waited previously.
Oh, see? I didn't mess up. I messed up.
Go.
I'm going to go. There's nothing worse than crash landing on a strange alien planet as a chef to be attacked by farting chicken butt monsters. A troll that throws rocks at you so you can get stoned, according to the manual. It's enough to make a guy PO'd for the PlayStation, released in 1995. By developer Any Channel, no idea who that is, You play as a frying pan toting drilling chef with a jetpack. And this first person shooter, originally created on the 3DO and later ported to the Sony PlayStation. And also there was a PC version developed, but it was never released because why? Screw you, Master Race. PO'd for the PlayStation.
Screw you, Master Race. I think that's a decent contender for episode title.
There you go.
Do I need to wait for the bell? Ding.
That's done. Sorry.
Bailey, how much do bowling balls weigh in your game?
You can.
I just need a number.
Like,
do they
weigh 8 to 16 pounds? I think.
Okay.
Is the range? I don't.
So. They would weigh more on Jupiter, and you go past Jupiter. As you go to the Earth.
Those are some heavy balls.
It's all I'm saying. Bowling! For the Intellivision.
Okay, so let me just say this a little bit, and then we can continue. People go on and on about how god-awful the controller was for the 52, or the 5200, the Atari 52. Is that right? 5200? Yeah.
That's not the Intellivision.
No. The Intellivision controller is like the most awkward rectangle phone ever created. And if you don't have those stupid little slides, you can't play the game.
Not to be like super niche retro gamer dork right now, but I want to interrupt your interruption to just quickly say,
for another interruption,
I think the Jaguar controller doesn't get enough hate. I think that's an underrated controller in the realm of awful controllers.
When did this become the controller showdown?
Just now. I don't think the Jaguar is that bad. I mean, you got the three buttons.
That's what
I mean, the little number.
That, but it's, I don't,
you never used that little number pad. You just had the.
That's my point. Like, why? It's like a zit on the face of the controller. Like, you just want to like get rid of it and just pow, and they're gone. Like, it's just a blemish.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody describe bad controller form as a zit. So that's good.
Well, I'll start a whole new review series just on retro console controllers, and I promise vivid imagery in my analogies and comparisons.
But Hunter, no, like what was your game? What was your game, Hunter? P-O-D?
P-O'd. P-O apostrophe E-D.
I got that reference twice.
P-O'd.
P-O'd.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Hunter, I do want to mention
developer
that
any channel.
If we're talking about games where you wield a frying pan, I still think Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars is the best one.
Well, I mean, you can go before that and do...
So, screw you.
Nope.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, that would be the...
Nope.
Never mind.
Nope!
There is only Super Mario RPG.
There is only one. Super Mario RPG.
Oh, and...
There is
and
also
the Earth.
Bowling for the Intellivision.
What? So to
Alex,
the Earth...
Alex,
come on.
Question: mm-hmm. How quickly can you name five superior Zapper games for the NES? Because I bet I could do it.
Hold on.
In like 10 seconds. But go.
Hogan's Alley, Wild Gunman, Duck Hunt.
Keep going.
Other games that aren't those games.
Barker Bill's Trick Shooting. I would put Baby Boomer above To the Earth, and that's saying something.
Those are three games I've played.
I mean, Adventures of Bayou Billy, maybe, and that's not even like a fully Zapper game. You get my point. Just ugh.
No. The point is the.
Oh, Gotcha.
Yeah, Gotcha.
You played Chiller. Chiller's rare, but it's interesting.
God, it's a weird.
To the
game.
Earth, not interesting. Not interesting.
But it's got aliens, and it's got a high challenge.
Yeah, but you have to understand, like, one of the sweetest, most tender moments in my relationship with my wife was when we discovered that we both enjoyed light gun games on the Wii, and I thought I should introduce her to Zapper games. So I brought out like 8 NES Zapper games, and we played them, and it was fun. And do you know what game stood out as the worst?
To the Earth.
Mm-hmm. To the Earth.
To the Earth.
It's not good. Like, it's not fun. I don't know.
I mean, I'll admit I've never played this game, so I'm just reading the Wikipedia article and I'm watching gameplay footage. Two things I would definitely not recommend to anybody listening to this show. But a couple of things kind of stick out.
The graphics.
Mainly the goal of the game. The goal is to retrieve vials of medicine and deliver them to Earth while preventing Nemesis, which is the enemy in the game, from passing through the planet's atmosphere. So we're going to alien planets to get vials of medicine.
Are you getting the right game? Because all you do is shoot aliens the whole time. You don't get any medicine.
That's not... We'll see. Maybe you just gotta look, read between the lines when you play To the Earth. It takes a degree in psychology to know what's going on.
I like the game, but it's not... There's no subtext or anything.
I don't know, man, because at the end, the player receives a congratulational message from Nestor, who is the president of the Terrestrial Federation in this game.
Actually assigned Nestor the Magnificent.
Nestor?
Hey, listen. Wait. What
Nestor,
are you on?
Who only appeared in one video game, which happened to be a bowling game.
Nestor's Funky Bowling, I know.
Nestor's Funky Bowling! Ding, ding, ding! We have a trivia winner! Fact checker! Corner swinger! Good job.
It's enough to get
it's
PO'd.
It's bowling!
If... Hunter.
For the intelligence.
If you look further down, Brett Allen Weiss said, this game requires full concentration and good shooting skills, but it is very entertaining. And...
That's not all.
You can... That is in Wikipedia.
Oh, wow,
and you can trust people named Weiss. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. Yep. I felt kind of bad because I always feel a little upset that somebody brings a game that I've never heard of just because it's like, oh, man, I don't know what this game is, and I got to study up real quick. I'm actually kind of happy that I've never heard of this game.
Do you want to know my backup?
What, To the Earth?
No, a backup game.
Sure. I'm going to...
Slam City with Scottie Pippen.
That would have been
a great choice.
Jason choice, yeah.
Yeah. You can use the zapper in that, right? It's a zapper.
No, I probably would have chosen that had I remembered that I wanted to choose that. But I only had an hour to prepare.
Hunter?
Hmm.
I have a question about your game, and I'm going to attempt to ask it while clutching this bowling video game cartridge between my teeth, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. I have no idea if this is going to work.
It's not, but we're going to try.
Why does the chef have a drill?
So the appeal of PO'd is that you actually get to jump into this chef's shoes. Because he is only at the mercy of the items that are around him, one of them being a drill. The reason for that drill is because of the ship that he was a part of was part of a mining colony. So if you're a sci-fi fan, you know, usually giant drills are definitely the forefront of technology when it comes to mining different colonies. He also has a jetpack, which I have no response to.
That, I mean, it is tough to beat a jetpack. Alex, I'm going to tell you, To the Earth actually has some really cool visuals. Don't tell anybody I said that, okay? It's one of the more visually interesting Zapper games. Okay, but don't tell anybody I said that, okay? Okay? Are we good there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
So everybody knows.
Just thinks this game looks good. Did any channel make any other games, Hunter? Is that like the only game they made?
Well, I mean, if you are as popular as any channel is, especially on Wikipedia, you will not have a Wikipedia page. So we're going to find out.
Okay.
No, this is the only game they created.
According to NintendoLegend.com, this game has not been reviewed. Dang it.
Oh, man, I haven't gone on there to throw that in Bailey's face in a long time. It's probably because he doesn't update it.
It's good to use his opinion against him when it's contrary to what he's saying on air.
I know, it's beautiful.
I feel like I've only reviewed like 19 or 21% of the games. Actually, when I go to it and I realize I've reviewed 40% of the American NES library, I'm like, holy crap, 40%? That's not bad.
Yeah, man, you're almost halfway there.
Yeah, so that's a good place to stop. Yes, I don't know.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
What?
Shouldn't stop. First-person shooters were all the rage, man. This is 1996. You got Doom. You got Duke Nukem.
You got Come To on. The Earth 10 years earlier. You know, first person, whatever. Who cares?
1990.
You're so blasé.
Blasé. Hey, Hunter. Hunter, riddle me this. Why would I pick up... what's it called?
P.O.D.
P.O.D. Why would I pick up P.O.D. over Doom?
P.O.D. Sorry.
Why would I pick that up over Doom? Or
Doom's old news, man. Doom is static.
No, but now I got Doom 1996. Now I got Doom on my PlayStation. I don't need
Doom. Yeah, it's terrible. PlayStation Doom is not that good.
I don't know that. I'm just a kid.
Well, you're a dumb kid. PlayStation Doom is not that good.
Oh, you're a dumb kid.
Everybody's heard of Doom. It's old news, man. You've got to move on to bigger and better things. And that, my friend, right. is PO'd for the PlayStation 1.
Pewed.
So, Hunter.
Yes.
You said in your introduction that there's nothing worse than crash landing on a strange alien planet. And I actually just, I spent the past minute or so writing a top 10 list of things worse than than crash landing on a strange alien planet. Number one, going to the dentist. Number two, getting a flat tire. Number three, getting hit by a stray projectile of sufficient force to make it an unpleasant experience. Number four, getting pulled over and getting a speeding ticket and thus being late to get somewhere. Number five, sitting all the way through 2.5 hours of a movie that ends up with a terrible ending. Number six, hanging out with people who actually sneeze on you multiple times. Number seven, spilling a drink on your lap at a nice dinner. Number eight, going to a wedding featuring a couple you don't actually care about nor get along with. Number nine, the death of your first dog. And number 10, Sonic fanboys. Boom, roasted. Your point is incorrect.
I can actually relate to like 8 of those 10 things.
I know, you can.
So
why are you such a liar, Hunter? Your intro is disqualified, your game doesn't count. So that's the only hope I have for winning with bowling for the Intellivision.
Hey guys. Guys, look out for a tweet tomorrow morning at 11:15. Just saying.
The cartridge sits between your teeth.
So bowling.
Yeah, wait. Can you actually, like, beat the game? Can you say I accomplished bowling?
Yeah, you can. You can play against.
I think the better question is how am I supposed to bowl with a square piece of plastic? I think that is. Because my game comes on a disc. It's round, much like a bowling ball.
Everybody knows squares are superior to circles. So,
you mean like structurally or
ethically?
Emotionally.
Right. I'm not sure I agree.
Because
talk about having a chip on your shoulder.
Chip challenge on your shoulder.
What a stupid chip challenge is so good.
Well, I want every NES game on my shoulder.
Mr. DC.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too. That emulator's pretty good. I got the same one.
Yeah, it doesn't want to save, though.
Guys, we have a showdown to do. Come on.
Yeah, dude, PO'd. PlayStation 1. Showdown over.
Hunter, I really don't understand your game. Like,
you are a chef fighting aliens! What else do you need to know?
But there's
Hunter, you've got a butcher
you said
knife.
There's farting,
you've got a frying pan.
Monsters?
You've got
what
a drill.
This?
Yeah, there's a
Booger
farting
man
butt monster.
On a worse console? Oh, yeah, I said it.
What'd you
it's
say?
Like,
I missed it, sorry.
It's like a Booger Man that isn't bold enough to be Booger Man. It's like Booger Man that shies away from the boundary. It's like Booger Man for lame, straight-laced squares.
Somebody needs to kickstart a first-person shooter Booger Man game. I'd play that in a heartbeat.
Wasn't there a reboot not too long ago? Am I imagining that? I thought there was a Kickstarter or something.
There was a Kickstarter to do a new Booger Man, but it was just going to be a 2D side-scroller.
Okay.
Also, yes, there was a Kickstarter recently. Yes, that is absolutely true.
Was it for bowling on the Intellivision?
Yeah. Bowling.
One of the worst Mattel consoles ever created.
One of the worst.
From the makers of Barbie and Ken.
That's pretty good.
It's the Intellivision.
That's a good one, Hunter. That's a good. That's good.
It's disgusting.
That's good. Yeah, I've never played it. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but I've never actually played. I just own it. Quick story. Racketboy.com. I used to hang out on the forums there. They have some great resources as well for reading
Not anymore.
Stuff. Yeah,
it's
well,
definitely dropped off.
Yeah, and some guy was just giving games away. He's in the discussion board, and he's like, "Hey, I'm giving games away. Just post a reply with which one you want, and send me a private message with your address, and I'll mail it to you." So, for some reason I'll never understand, probably just because I didn't have any Intellivision games, I was like, "I'll take bowling for the," and then he sent it to me. I actually have it.
So everybody. So. Stepped away from Bailey as he asked for bowling on the television.
That's right.
Okay, the name of this video is called "You Think Your Wii Bowling Is Hard?"
Yeah.
Just going to leave it at that. Television bowling.
Because
if you think Wii bowling is hard, you should see my video game collection, because it includes Silver Surfer, which is a lot harder.
So I think the idea of doing a side perspective for a bowling game...
Yeah.
It was a bit adventurous, but I got a feeling that, like, if I was able to be in the boardroom after the product was done, and they're sitting there playing it, and they're like, "Wow, this is just shit. Like, this isn't going to sell. This was a bad idea. We should have never done a side scroll. We should have never done a side view."
Okay, Bailey.
Sup?
Riddle me this.
I'm riddling.
Why does the bowling ball sound like the pole position car?
The developer was trying to take advantage of every human being's subconscious attraction to pole position. Everyone loves pole position, and they associate that with the sound effect. It's a positive association thing. It's a basic psychology concept. You know, if you eat your favorite meal while listening to a song, you'll like the song more just because it's associated with your favorite meal. So when you hear that song, you'll get this pleasant feeling because you remember having your favorite meal. Same thing here. Pole position sound effect, bowling ball. They're like, people will love it. And that's why it sold over 40 million copies, if I remember correctly.
Is there any factual data to back up your claim that says everybody loves pole position?
There are three oranges full of factual data. I'm wearing an orange shirt. It's the Fighting Cheap Cheeps, my favorite shirt that One More Castle has to offer. OneMoreCastle.com/shop has some shirts. The best one is Fighting Cheap
Cheeps.
It's so funny.
Don't you love the way he avoids the questions, Hunter?
That's his
tactics. I think I punch that question.
I mean, I really I enjoy pole position. I think it's a halfway decent game.
Hunter's right. Whatever Hunter says is correct. He's a smart guy.
I don't know.
You guys are so subjective.
These freaking aliens.
It's better than
to get me PO'd.
Weiss.
The PlayStation. By any
I'm
channel.
A thief.
So.
I wrote down some other notes about your guys' games, but like reading my own notes about your games is boring me. Like, it's like, who would ever want to...
So
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Hold on.
Okay.
I haven't heard a substantial claim against my game, just you don't like it.
Your game doesn't have cheat codes.
Or polygons. Or beaches.
Bowling doesn't have cheat codes. PO'd, on the other hand, multiple cheat codes. And 180 flip.
Okay. I don't see why that makes it a better game.
Cheat codes.
You know,
better. They built an entire device to cheat, known as the Game Genie.
Chip. Just realized mine's the only multiplayer game of the three. My game is a game you can enjoy with friends.
Nobody's going to
Your two games are for losers and loners.
You know what you can do with To the Earth? Well, you lose at a level, you give it to your sibling, your dad,
hot seat.
Your mom.
Very
hot
popular
seat.
Nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to hold multiple controllers. Who would put more than one controller port on a console? That's just silly.
Who would put four?
Someone brilliant genius. To the Earth is boring and lacks substance. It's mindless
I haven't heard
and not compelling.
Yeah, I those are adjectives. But
that describe your game accurately.
Alex, there's a reason I've never played your game. Because it's because I've got better things to do.
You shoot stuff on screen. If I want to do that, there's other games that can do it. But they sound better, they look better, they have more substantial storyline. You can play them with friends. It's just not a good choice.
Can I give you
Alex?
Can I give you an argument against my game? I shoot myself in the foot?
If I say no, am I still gonna have to hear whatever the heck you're trying to say?
Just go for it.
I don't know the technical term, but whatever the window of shooting
ignorance.
Opportunity is. No, not window of ignorance.
Window of truth.
Window of truth.
You know, when you shoot this.
The shooty shoot McWindow thingy.
Shut up for 5 seconds. when you shoot the NES or the NES zapper, the light, you know, blinks the TV screen and there's a little square there. That's how it knows where to shoot.
Yeah.
I want to say whatever window of opportunity is smaller on To the Earth. So it's harder to hit the moving targets.
That is such an oversimplified explanation.
Well, no, it's not even that. Confusing. It's like, okay, I know we're all drinking the nostalgic juice and it's great. The zapper was a terrible peripheral. It didn't work.
I'd rather play a game with a controller. You know, I'm one of those weirdos who actually, for the games that had the option, I liked moving the cursor with my controller and shooting with a button. I'm a weirdo like that, but it's true.
Especially if you could hold down B and move the cursor even faster across the
yes!
screen without...
Oh, thank you, Hunter. You just validated my entire life.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
This is a new concept Woo! To me. I never...
Play a game. Play Cabal. That's a fun kind of gallery shooter game.
Good
That's
call.
Got the same kind of...
So I have to change religions for that?
Yes. Hunter, I do want to point out one thing about Cabal. Actually, now that you mentioned it, this reminded me... the unfortunate thing about Cabal is that it's not bowling for the Intellivision.
It's not. And that's one of its redeeming qualities.
I think it's time for our final arguments, because this has gone on quite far enough. Alex, why should anyone vote for a game with a confusing title?
Because the title is also the objective.
That's stupid. Hunter, why should anyone vote for something that's not quite Earthworm Jimmy, not quite Booger Manny?
You're a chef. And you get to fight butt monsters.
Hunter, clearly winning this week. You should vote for Bowling on the Intellivision because it's actually it's a decent game from what I can tell. I own it. And again, it fits... Between your teeth. It's like a harmonica. Wow. Except for your mouth. Oh, you guys use harmonicas. That's our showdown! Thanks for listening and watching. In fact, I would like to give a special shout-out to the live stream commenters? If I can say the word. Thank you so much for not only watching, but participating in discussion. Dustin Faber, Jonathan Higgins... Jonathan H. I'm just going to call you Jonathan H. from now on. Jonathan H. Jared Waldo. Mega Silver X. Eric Bailey. What? And, ooh, a couple of people who watch but didn't say anything. That's cool, too. Thanks for watching. Just a reminder, we broadcast 7:30 p.m. Central Thursday evenings. If you want to join us, we tweet the link from One More Castle. To tweet means to broadcast a post on the social network Twitter. Well, it's more accurately an information sharing network. That being said, Alex Weiss, do you have any particular shout-outs, self-promos, favorite color beard?
Brown? Let me make sure I got this Twitter handle right. I want to shout out my brother, who we don't have any mutual followers, like the castle folks and mine. He is the _ Aaron Weiss. That's my brother.
Oh, okay, cool.
Just shouting him out.
Just found him. Now, do I follow him? Do I? Yep, following him. You said it, so he's fair game.
Okay.
He is now going to be exposed to Nintendo _ Legend.
I think you'd enjoy talking with him, but his, yeah, you'd enjoy talking with him.
Cool. Understood. Hunter, do you have any shout outs, shameless self plugs, favorite fabric for your t-shirts to be made out of?
You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is IamEricM.com. And in case you guys don't know, we are having the One More Castle Community Gaming Night, which is October 22nd at 8 p.m. We're playing Team Fortress 2. Game's free. Sign up on our Steam group. Right, we got a Steam group. Who's the curator?
Yeah, we do. I think we just changed that. It was Andrew, Jason, Tom, one of those three. I'm not sure. Crap! Oh! I'm not sure.
I really thought that was yesterday. Wow.
It was not.
I'm not sure. I noticed
when you said 22nd.
But I'm a fan of cotton.
So. Okay, yeah, it's a good choice. Yeah.
I want to make sure Donkey Kong gets on air.
I want to...
Donkey Kong!
I want to encourage people who haven't played Team Fortress 2. It's free, and it's actually a lot of fun. Like, I've been playing it to try and quote-unquote train for Community Gaming Night, because I plan on being there, and doubly so, because I will not be on the podcast next week.
Bailey,
what's up?
What size pants do you wear?
Wow, are you talking like...
They're really
waist?
Tiny.
I'm gonna... I will send you a private message about the pants.
I just need to know if I need to fill in your pants next week. Oh, it's your shoes. That's the thing. What size shoes are you?
If no one else finds that really funny, I will. That was good. But yeah, I'm not going to be on the podcast next week, so I hope you guys have fun. Is there anything I'm forgetting to mention? Probably, but that's okay. I'll let Andrew yell at me later. So, that is our show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for sharing with your friends. Thanks for being generally amazing people out there. And lastly, but not leastly, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!